Okay, if you will, please turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'm going to read just a few verses tonight before we go to the Lord in prayer. I want to call your attention to verse 2 to begin with. And we're just going to look at three or four verses here in this chapter. It says, "And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children." Then I want to call your attention to verse 11. "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thy handmaid, and remember me, and will not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto the handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Now look at verse 15 with me. It says, "And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." And then lastly, I want you to look at verse 19. It says, "And when they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house of Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her." In the book of 1 Samuel, the reason I kind of started with 1 Samuel is at some point we will get back into going through the scriptures and going through the slideshows that we do, and we're starting off at 1 Samuel when we do that. And so I've read through and have preached probably three or four messages on a Sunday evening of passages in the book of 1 Samuel, but I have had some things on my mind, and then tonight we're having the baby shower for Stacy and for Ricky, and I just have these things on my mind, and I wanted to have a lesson this morning or this evening on a child's needs. What a child needs. And the reason I brought up 1 Samuel is because Hannah would have done anything to have a child. And yet she was barren until the Lord blessed her with Samuel. And then we know that she dedicated him to the Lord. But then the Lord also opened up her womb and she had other children. But tonight is more of a topical message, and it's going to be on what a child needs. The needs of our children in general. If you will, turn with me to the book of Psalm chapter 127. Psalm chapter 127 and verse 3 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Children are a heritage of the Lord. Basically, it's saying here that a child, if you have a child, it is a gift from God. But in today's society, that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. People don't look at it that way anymore. I know that you do here tonight, but many people in the world don't seem to have that same affection for children that God's Word carries forth. So tonight, the outline, I guess you could say, is simply one sentence. We're going to look at one sentence that I come up with, but we're going to elaborate and add on to that sentence as we go. So don't think it's just going to be a short 5 minutes and we're done. But there's one sentence we're going to look at, and then we're going to add to that sentence tonight. And the first phrase of that sentence, the first part is this: we need to value a child's life. We need to value a child's life. Turn with me now, if you will, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And there's one verse I want to call your attention to. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul warns Timothy and he warns the church of things that are going to come to pass. Things that will happen in the last days. And I want to ask you a question. Do you think we're living in the last days today? Absolutely. Now, I think the Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. And I know you feel the same way about that, but you know what? Back in the New Testament times, they were looking for Him to come back at any moment as well. In fact, the book of 1 John says we're living in the last days, and it was talking about those times as well. But notice what it says in 1 Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 1. This know you also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Folks, have those things taken place in our society today? Do you think that men love themselves and their own selves and look to benefit themselves above anything else? Absolutely. Are people covetous today? You can't go out, and if your car would happen to break down and you would have to go need a new car and go buy another car, it wouldn't be long before someone else would be wanting a new car as well, because people are covetous. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. But then I want to call your attention to verse 3. It says, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And the list continues on and on, but I want to call your attention to verse 3. The first phrase, without natural affection. Do you guys know what that means? That means that in the last days, and I believe we're living in them, that there will be times that will come where there will be people that fail to have the natural affections that they should. And specifically what that's talking about is the family unit. There will be mothers who can literally look at their own child that had just come from them and not love them and not want them. That's what this verse is speaking of. There will be fathers that will want nothing to do with their children, and mothers that want nothing to do with their children. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we need to value a child's life. And not only does that start with children that are born, but that starts with unborn children too. We need to value the life of the unborn child. Our country does not do that. If I was to read you out of the book of Exodus and talk about how Pharaoh put a decree out to slay those children, you would be mortified of the horrors that that would be, wouldn't you? If we were to read in the book of Matthew how Herod put a decree out to slaughter children, we are horrified and mortified of what that means, aren't we? But yet, unborn children are being killed in the millions every year in this nation. And we let it happen. We need to value the life of children. Unborn children deserve their life just as much as the parents do. This isn't, I want you to understand something, this isn't a women's issue. People like to make this a women's issue. This is an issue of life. And as much as that woman and that mother has the right to live, so does the unborn child. But yet, we see abortion after abortion go on in our country. And then, we can also look at instances where children are born and their parents simply don't want anything to do with them. Which brings us to the next point of our phrase. We need to value a child's life. Next, we need parents to value their children's life. In Matthew chapter 19, it's also in the Old Testament, but in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus is talking about marriage. And do you know what message He gives? He gives something that's a little old-fashioned for today's society. But folks, it's the way it needs to be. And the message is this, that A son will leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. And you know what it says after that? And they shall be one flesh. Now that doesn't seem to appeal to the world today. And you can call me an old-fashioned preacher if you want, but I'm not one for shacking up. I believe you're to be married. I believe the Bible teaches you are to be married. And then you are to enter in and become one flesh and have children, if you so desire that. But unfortunately today, the family unit is broken down. We don't have parents that value their children's life because a lot of the times the father is not even in the equation. Is this too real for y'all tonight? This is the truth. Amen. You want to know what's wrong with our society today? It's not our political government. It's not, I mean, there are things wrong in our government. Don't get me wrong. But you can look to the family unit. And that's where we have just fallen apart. There are too many single mothers trying to raise children. And God bless them. But where is the father? Men need to step up and be men and be accountable for their children. And then we have some mothers that, and some fathers that choose the things of this world over their own children. And they do it. It's sad. You can look at the most horrible instances of this. I mean, you can think of the cases where mothers just were tired of their children and they killed them. That happens, folks. You think there's something wrong with our nation if that's what's going on? Have we not lost the natural affections that we should have? And so we need parents to be involved in children's lives. Do you want to see what the Bible shows is the family model, the unit, the way it should be? Look at with me, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Again, we can read these passages and you can look at me and you say, well, that's old-fashioned. That's not the way it is today. That's not, folks, this is God's Word. And when I used to read passages like this, let me tell you something I used to do. When I used to read passages like this and say something that was controversial in the Word of God, I would say, I didn't write that. God wrote that. And I've heard a lot of preachers do that. Hey, don't blame me. I didn't write it. God did. I don't do that anymore. You want to know why? Because when we say something like that, it's almost saying, hey, I'm not necessarily saying I agree with it, but God says it's so, so that's the way it is. Now, if God put it in His Word, it's the right way. Whether you like it or not, whether it's politically correct or not, it's the right way. And I'm not going to apologize for that and say, I didn't write it, God did. No, it's the right way. You want to see the right way that a family is to function? Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves unto one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Is that in the Bible? Does that mean the author of the Bible, God Almighty, the one who created the heavens and the earth, is the one that wrote, submit yourselves unto your husband? Right? Then we shouldn't have a problem with it. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I might have a lot of women that are upset because I say the Bible teaches you to submit to your husbands, but I would be a much more pleased if the men would be more upset with me tonight because they have the harder task. Men, you love, respect, and honor your wife like Jesus loved, respect, and honored His church. Is that easy to do? No. No, not with some of your wives, I know that. But Uh-oh. I knew something. If I waited long enough, somebody would say it. Wives, submit to your husband. Husbands, you love your wives. But then look at verse, the rest of that chapter, verse 5, talks about husbands loving your wives. The rest of the chapter, there's one verse that talks about wives submitting to your husbands. The rest of that chapter kind of deals with how the husband is supposed to love his wife. Now, notice what it says in verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. It all boils down to verse 33. Husbands, you love, respect, and honor your wives the way you should, and you won't have any problems with them respecting you. But then he goes further in chapter 6. There's no chapter breaks. He goes further in chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that ye may be well with thee and may live us long life on this earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You want to know how the family is supposed to work? The husband and the wife are a team in which the husband loves, honors, and respects his wife like Christ loved the church, and his wife submits unto him with love and honor and respect. And then they have children, and those children, they mind their parents because their parents teach them in the Lord. That's the way the family is supposed to work. Is that the way your family is? Now, if it is, praise God. But if it isn't, it doesn't mean it can't be. That's what God looks at when He looks at the family unit. So we need to value a child's life. We need parents, both parents, to value their children's life. And thirdly, we need godly parents to value their children's life. Again, we read in Ephesians 6:4, it says, it says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How are we to bring our children up? Let them make all the decisions for themselves? You know, when I was older, I was saved and I began and became a part of a church, but the Lord convicted me of that and He changed my mind on things, and that's why I serve Him in a church. So I'm going to let my child go through that same path and journey and let them make their decisions for themselves. And people are applauded for making statements like that. No, the Bible says that we are to nurture and bring up our children in the admonition of the Lord. You know what that means? That means teach them about Christ. Teach them the Bible. Teach them to respect God's Word and the things in God's Word. Teach them to understand that this is truth, regardless of what the world says. Teach them to honor God. Bring them to church. That's an easy thing to do. Don't get me wrong. I realize there's always hard times when you have to get your kids ready and come to church. And I appreciate you parents for doing that. But when you talk about what it takes to raise up your children godly, one of the easiest things that you can do is bring them to church to let them hear someone else speak about the Lord. Amen. Let them hear a teacher talk to them about the Lord. And yet, sometimes we don't even do that. We need godly parents to stand up and teach godly principles to their children. If those that claim to be Christian, now I use that term very loosely, claim to be Christian, if they would teach their children the Word of God and to respect and honor and to listen and adhere to the Word of God, I promise you, our society would change. But that's not what's going on in today's society. In today's society, even those that claim to be Christians, their kids will be running the household. That's not the way it should be, folks. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a blessing. But that can also be looked at in a different way. You know that, right? It means if you don't train them up in the right way, that means they'll probably be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. So, we need godly parents to value children's lives. We need involved godly parents to value their children's lives. In the book of Mark, the disciples were taken back and even tried to disperse the children when they tried to come to Jesus. And we all know the passage. What does Jesus say? Let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. He had no problem talking with the children. In fact, I would almost guarantee you that when the Lord talked to children, he made them feel valued. He made them feel loved. And I would venture to say he was genuinely sincere and cared about what was going on in their lives. He was involved. We can have parents who are godly parents, and yet they miss out this point. And that is, they're not involved godly parents. Are you involved with your children's life? Do you talk to your children? Now, trust me. I'm not up here saying I'm the perfect dad. I'm not. Not by a long shot. I'm not up here saying I should write a book on parenting. I'm not. But there is a book on parenting. It's right there behind me. It's the Bible. But we need to be involved in our children's lives. Now, do your children get on your nerves sometimes? Yes. Absolutely they will. Will they drive you crazy sometimes? Yes, absolutely. Sometimes they'll drive you to the brink that you got to get away for a few minutes. I get that. But ultimately, we need to be involved in our children's lives. We need to know, and we need to ask them how their days are. We need to talk to them. If they like something, as long as it's not sinful in any manner, we should encourage them in that. We need to make children feel loved. Not just say we love our children. Not just say we care about our children. But let them know that and make them feel that way. I don't want to get too off topic here, but there was a documentary about Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers was a Christian man that he had a gift, folks. You know what his gift was? He could talk to children and make them feel loved and wanted. And I tell you what, in a society where people have lost a natural affection to love children, we need more men and women to be like that. To be able to talk to a child and let them know that they're important and that they're loved and that they were not an accident at all, that God has a plan for their lives. We need that in society today. So we need to value the life of a child. We need parents to value the life of their children. We need godly parents to value the life of their children. We need involved godly parents to value the life of their children. And then lastly, we need involved godly parents to value and discipline their children. Ephesians chapter 6, you should already be there. Notice what it says in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And then notice verse 4, it says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That involves teaching them and correcting them. You've heard the people tell the stories of of the children going crazy in the supermarket, and then it's like, if you don't want to do it, I will. You've heard those stories, right? Folks, children need discipline. We need to be godly parents. We need to be involved godly parents. But listen closely. We still need to be their parents. We don't need, they don't need best friends from their parents. Now, don't get me wrong. That happens. And occasionally, especially when they get older, a lot of women are best friends with their mothers or best friends with their daughters. There's nothing wrong with that. But there needs to be times in their childhood and in growing up where you're not their best friend. You're their parent who will correct them and discipline them when it needs to be done. We are so afraid to discipline our children now. They need to be disciplined. That's how we teach them. Proverbs chapter 23. We're going to read another passage from the Word of God. And guess what? I didn't write this, but I support it. And I defend it because God's way is the right way. Proverbs chapter 23. Look at verse 13 with me. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Now you say, my goodness, Jeremy. How dare you read something like that? I do not believe in abusing your children, folks. You don't beat your children to a degree in which they suffer pain and suffering and bruises. And that is not God ordained. It's just not. And that's not what this passage is teaching. But I tell you what, I could talk more so to this side of the pews, with the exception of a couple of you. And you could say, they could probably tell you a lot of stories about how they had to go pick their own switch. And you know what? About every one of them will probably be thankful that they did it. I got whoopings when I was a kid. I don't know about you, but I got whoopings when I was a kid. And I needed them. Now, you can discipline your children however you choose to. But I will say this. The Bible literally speaks of using spankings, if you will, as a form of discipline. So if you want to try some new creative method and do that, that's fine. And that may even work. But don't discount the old method, especially the one that the Bible uses. What I will say is this. If you leave your children to themselves, there's a warning in this passage too. What did it say? The rod may deliver their soul from hell. If you leave your children to themselves without discipline, they will not learn. And that's why you have a society that talks back to their elders. That's why you have a society that's unthankful. And children don't listen to their parents and don't respect their parents or respect their elders. Folks, you see it all the time today. And you want to know why? It's because parents stop disciplining their children. God disciplines his children. Did you know that? You know why he disciplines his children? The Bible tells you why he disciplines us when we go afar or astray. You know why he corrects and disciplines us? The Bible says it's because He loves us. Amen. My dad used to say something before he spanked me. And I know a lot of you have probably heard that before. But he used to say, "Son, this hurts me a lot more than it hurts you." And I always thought he was lying to me. Because it hurt me an awful lot. Until I became a father. Now I realize, boy, it's a lot easier not to do any of that. Isn't it? It's way easier not to discipline or do spankings or anything like that. And it's hard to do that. And it is a lot harder for me than it is for them. But it's needed. We need to correct our children. There are far too many households. And I unfortunately say this, there are far too many Christian households where the children rule the roost. And you need to remember, you're the parent. You're in control. You're in charge. We must discipline our children because we love them and we want to see them grow up in the Lord. So folks, in a society that would take the message that I preach tonight and try to burn it and hate it and hate about 30 things I said tonight, I stand by it because I believe God's Word teaches these things. That we need to value children's lives. We need parents that value children's lives. We need godly parents that value children's lives. We need involved godly parents that value children's lives. And we need involved godly parents that value and discipline their children's lives. Let's all stand. Ricky, Stacy, you guys are perfect parents now because you listened to this message. So thankful to be here tonight. I pray that the message was a blessing to you. If you were offended by anything I said, know this. It's never my intent to hurt your feelings or to offend any of you. But as I've said before, if I believe something's true in the Word of God, I'm going to say that. And I'm not going to apologize for that. So, I don't want to offend any of you. But if I did, you're more than welcome to talk to me, but don't expect an apology because I believe it's from God's Word. We'll be dismissed now in a word of prayer. Thank you so much for your attention tonight. And I am thankful that I can look around this church building and say that we have a lot godly parents, a lot of involved godly parents that discipline their children. And I thank you for that. Because in a world that is against that, we need as many children raised up the right way as possible. We'll be dismissed now in a word of prayer. Brother Joseph, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Dear Lord, let us pray that this time we have tonight, and thank you for this place of worship.